Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder. I'm Paul Gerard. Please welcome my co-host, the Reverend Spiro, and Crazy Legs Conti.
Honored to be your coast or your co-host.
My coast. We're coasting through this one, as always. Tonight, our second show on Monday night, Sin Night, Service Industry Night.
I just brought some deep-fried kielbasa from Anna, who used to work at Coyote Ugly. And I think it would go perfect on the Roberta's Pizza.
I got to go to a place in Jackson Heights, right? And I know I've been talking about Queens for a lot, but there's a place called Fernando's out there. It's like Coyote Fea.
Ah, all right.
It's like these
women. The Latin version?
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. These women are amazing looking, right? And it's just like literally, it's like the South American Coyote Ugly.
Wow. What do their tramp stamps say? Or what's the logo of
No, there's no tattoos.
Caliente.
There's no tattoos.
Really?
It's different in Latin America.
Yeah, they're good Catholic girls. They don't have, as far as body modifications, they've got fake tits.
All right.
You know, and, you know, all the injections. All that. The nose jobs. You know, that kind of thing, because it's cheap down there.
The Marlboro smoked skin.
So you can get a lap dance in the back of a taco truck. Sounds good to me. Ideal dining scenario. Yeah.
Sounds like a Saturday night to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of lap dances, which brings us to makes me think of Spiro's crotch, which brings us to the topic of tonight's show. Tonight we're talking about everything mini.
Yes.
Our fascination with everything mini. It's our first show where none of us are wearing pants. Hung like a knuckle. And to talk...
swinging like a gherkin.
to take us through tonight and everything mini, we figured we would need some people who know a lot about the subject. So to my right, we have the famed pastry chef, Mr. Johnny Uzzini.
What's up, boys? What's going on?
Pastry chefs definitely know a lot about everything mini. I'm sure you've driven yourself or have been.
You mean work related only, career related only?
Career related only. You're not hung like a macaroon?
Only on one side. Only on the right side. Left side's like a meatball. I'm Italian.
He dresses marzipan.
I got a meatball on one side and a macaroon on the other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to my left, we have little man thinking big, little Jimmy.
Hello there, everybody.
World-class entertainer, MC, and professional dancer. Welcome. Welcome, both of you guys.
I'm glad to be here.
Jimmy, you were just saying you're 70 years old. You do not look it.
I'm 4747. I'm 67, 68.
Amazing.
Which for a little person, is an incredible achievement, as even though the medical changes have developed... at the time when you were born, it wasn't as well known. And even later, just because of the amount of stress on organs and things. But you have lived more than a full life, which is recounted in your autobiography, Little Man Thinking Big, which we'll certainly talk about. And people can go to Amazon and get it. And it's...
incidentally, co-written by Crazy Legs.
Yes, shamelessly plugged and co-written.
Yeah, I like the way you waited for me.
It was
very humble of you.
Only professional journalists have to cop to the conflict of interest. But here on Eating Disorder, there is no conflict of interest. So
conflict.
But your diet has changed. We have a pizza here and deep-fried kielbasa. You're sticking to the salad.
Yes, I am. When you get old, you can't eat what you used to eat. Got to be careful about your health.
That's the same today. Well, you were just talking about sugar and everything. How's that with you, Johnny? Do you find you eat a lot of sugar?
Yeah, you had a book that's called Dessert Foreplay.
Yeah, and the new one's called Sugar Rush that comes out next week. But
isn't that a Coyote Shiver song? Sugar High. Right.
But my diet in general, like, I've changed a lot. I just turned 40 a couple weeks ago, and definitely, like, your body changes pretty rapidly at that point, you know. Mm-hmm. So an amount of sugar and cream and fats and stuff I take in on a regular basis for my career, I really have to be careful what I eat when I'm not working.
You know, it's funny. You just brought up something that Paul had taught me when I was a little younger, like last week.
The Roman style vomitorium.
Well, no. That's what I do every night when I go home in depression. But no, the whole thing about how American cooking is fat, salt, sugar. You know.
Yeah. I saw something recently about the. What was it? Ethnic flavored fat, salt, and sugar.
There's nothing wrong with those things, guys. I mean, the problem is we overeat them. You know, we got to do everything in, you know, take your time. If you're going to have a fatty meal tonight, have a light, you know, a lot of greens tomorrow night. You know, like just kind of everything in moderation is really the key to.
Including excess.
Excess and
moderation. Excess and moderation. Johnny, what's the what's the medium for your pastries? Are they Italian? Are they American? Are they?
I'm French trained. But I'm of Italian and French descent. But I've never worked, but I'm obviously American, but I've never worked in an American bakery per se.
Okay.
So I tend to ride the higher line of. I don't like cloyingly sweet food, mm-hmm. and like my desserts are never cloyingly sweet. There's always a balance. There's always a lot of savory ingredients. There's a high quantity of salt in everything I do, not to make it salty, but also to just balance natural flavors.
Because I do French pastries in the morning and Italian pastries at night is sort of my arrangement. And
I do the same thing with broads.
I have a T-shirt that says "Kiss French, Ride Italian." So that works well for me, being half and half.
You have a favorite that you like to make on the French side, and a favorite on the Italian side?
Not so much. I mean, my career's kind of changed. I've left the restaurants, and I'm focused now on actually building a chocolate factory and a coffee roaster underwater.
very Wonka-esque.
Yeah. I'm going full on.
Have you developed a gum that is the three-course meal that always goes wrong in dessert?
It will be.
Because that's going to be
it's
the
It's
going
to be actually 17 courses to keep up with Blanca, you know?
Yeah, of course. chewing per se. Mm-hmm. It's just $500, mm-hmm. one stick of gum,
well,
17
then, no,
courses.
You got to get Veruca Salt to open up the
There's plenty of them. I have plenty of them in Williamsburg.
I actually got to meet the original crew.
You met but it was Violet Beauregard who ate the blueberry. True. Do you make sfegliatelle? Have you made sfegliatelle?
Sure, of course.
It's a two-day process, right?
Yeah, like a lot of those things. Like same like puff pastry, it's a couple days process to make it, you know, to get the layers right and everything else, and essentially it's laminating the dough, but yeah.
All right, because I did...
Lobster claws is what he's talking about for all you...
No, I like the true... fin-shaped, lemon ricotta-filled, harder crust sfegliatelle. When I did, as a competitive eater, I was on Cake Boss, and despite eating a cake that was filled with fondant and like surgical PVC piping to hold it together, I finally said to Frankie, the big guy, I said, take me back to the factory, show me where you make the sfegliatelle. And he did show me how to stretch it out to make the
big long table.
But isn't the lobster... Claude, the
lobster
American
tails.
Lobster tail, the
it's
Americanized
version of that.
It's like
though.
Having sweet and sour chicken at a Chinese restaurant and going, they can't possibly be eating this orange sauce.
But most people wouldn't know what you're talking about. Like most
All right,
Americans
you're right.
At this
it's
point.
Hard
so
to
at
spell.
Least, at least it's a.
All right. And now, little Jimmy, you are Italian, but you were a professional salsa dancer in the Latin community. You did almost 1,000 to 5,000 shows with Tito Puente. Do you have a favorite Italian pastry or dessert or Latin pastry or flan?
Cannoli, and I am Italian and Greek. And on the Greek side,
yes!
Calitofurico.
What was the Greek
pastry
one?
Greek.
What was the Greek
my
one?
Mama used to make out of this world.
What was it called?
Calitofurico. My Greek relatives out there.
It's a lemon custard with phyllo bread on top, and then you put a little bit of a cinnamon over it.
I've had it.
You had it at my mother's house.
Wow, so this is like Battle of the Italians versus Greeks at the moment in the podcast. I think
we all know how that turns out.
We're
don't
two
we?
And a half to three.
We know how those wars turned out.
Everything ends with Tarolucci Evino.
It wasn't even a war.
The Italians and the Greeks are the best cooks in the world.
So what is the new book focusing on?
So the first book was really a snapshot of what I was doing. You know, I'd worked in four-star restaurants for 17 years straight now as Jean-Georges and Danielle. And now I kind of left the restaurants and I kind of wanted – everybody says you make your first book for your ego and the next ones you make to actually market for people that need it. Mm-hmm. And so the second book is really about going back to basics. You know, our generation – I don't know about you guys, but both my parents worked. I didn't learn how to cook or really bake for them. If I was lucky enough to be around my grandparents, I'd see something once in a while. Yeah. But both my parents worked. So we lost the translation of like generation to generational learning how to cook. So this book is kind of teaching people, like a lot of people know how to make a meringue, but they don't know why or how or what the different types of meringue. So this book kind of goes through
like
all the
fluff,
different categories.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of height do you get on your meringue? That's not a sexual euphemism. Yeah. Actually,
you cut me off before I
don't
had
be
time.
Jealous. Don't be jealous.
It's in the egg white whipping. How do you get to stay up?
Hot
you
know, sugar.
There's three different types of meringue. You know, there's French, Italian, and Swiss, and each one is a different preparation, different ways of cooking the sugar, and then different ways of actually whipping it. So, you know, and they all have different purposes. The French being the lightest, the Italian being the heaviest. You know,
and
so
then the Swiss likes to remain neutral in the meringue.
As always, those weak bastards.
But with the highest peaks.
And then what would you say is key lime the ideal meringue, or is there a pie?
No, key lime is a dessert.
Oh.
It's just meringue is egg whites and sugar. So
okay.
It's either you whip the egg whites and sugar straight, or you could whip the egg whites and sugar over a water bath, which is Swiss, or Italian styles when you cook the sugar and pour the hot sugar streaming into the whipping whites.
But you're serving it just on its own?
No, that's just teaching you what a meringue is. And then from there on, we build upon that and say,
okay,
how do you want to use meringues? Do you want to make a Vacherin? Do you want to make baked Alaska? Whatever you want to do. Then we go through every category. We talked about mousses, what a curd is, what a custard is, you know, how to make different sponges, cakes. Every category, we really go through and demystify and say, why are you doing the things you do? The simplest example is, you know, we learn to take butter out of the fridge right before we bake.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when our grandparents and stuff would bake, they didn't have KitchenAid mixers, right? Mm. So the reason why they took it out to temper out of the fridge is to soften it to make it easier for them to work. Right. Now we're taking the butter out. We're putting it in a mixer that's, you know, super powerful, and we're gonna paddle it, and we're gonna essentially breaking the emulsion of what the butter is. So we end up with a greasy product, and we don't know why.
So it's
reason why it's
what,
better to, cold butter.
Oh, that's
cold,
why my grandfather's forearm was so large. His right forearm was
that's why it was so large.
It is like making a roux. It's more like about hitting it.
Sure,
yourself.
It's a mechanical. You know, we take it. We forget about why. We stop asking ourselves why we do the things we do. We just do it because we taught to do it that way without asking the questions.
All right, so. A meringue of your choosing, symbiotic relationship, not dissimilar from the water buffalo and the tsetse fly. What's your ideal pairing with the meringue?
A meringue is meringue.
I've never let a meringue bowl.
I would never eat a meringue by itself.
No, that's what I'm saying. What's going underneath?
For me, there's a dessert called I mentioned it before, a Vacherin. This is kind of cool. So you dry the meringue. Everybody knows what a crispy meringue is. So that's a great base layer. From that, maybe some. Right now it's fall, so Concord grapes are amazing. I would make a Concord grapes sorbet, put that on top of onto the meringue. Then maybe some fresh cream. Then maybe some something else warm, something else with texture. You know, for me, I think of meringue as not only a carrier of flavor, but also a carrier of texture. You know, you could torch it, you could dry it, you could make it crispy, creamy, whatever you want it to be. So
Jimmy, meringue?
But otherwise, meringue by itself is sweet and it's, you know, quite flavorless.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I could eat it definitely.
Really?
By this
point. Little Jimmy's working on a Caesar salad. He's not ready for meringue dessert.
So getting to the mini thing for a second, what is your favorite mini dessert?
What I like about mini desserts is, I hate going to a restaurant and getting one giant dessert that's like bite after bite.
You
just cloyingly sweet.
Everything.
So for me, the joy of small desserts, and at Jean George, we had, you know, a table of four could come in and get 16 different desserts at one shot. You know, and the joy of that is having a couple bites of something interesting, something different, something complex, and moving on. So I actually love restaurants that have like tapas style, like Spanish restaurants, because you get to try a lot more things.
I'm glad you brought up John George. I used to work for a lot of pop culture magazines. I used to work for like Paper Magazine, Interview, and those kind of places. And we used to do a lot of parties, right? And it was always John George, Indochine, or fucking Bond Street who fucking supplied the food. Doesn't matter how much you ate of this shit, you can never get full. All right, it would be like these little tiny burgers or these little, like, you know, the creme fraiche and the tuna tartare or whatever. So, but there's a strategy in case you don't know, right? When you're going to these places, always sit by where the food's coming out first, or else it's being touched by everyone.
But, you know, that's actually an interesting point, Spiro, because and it kind of goes back to what Johnny said before about how we're not doing things in moderation.
No.
You don't go to places like Jean George or Danielle to get full. It's about okay, it's about tasting
any,
the food.
Yeah, but when it comes chefs down with to hyphenated names,
I don't know about
like
that.
No, dude. I have an allergic.
But that's the big thing with Americans in general. You know,
we eat
these huge portions. You know, and it's not necessary.
Okay, but I have an allergic reaction to small food. I break out in hunger.
Yeah.
You know? But he's also going to these parties. He's got his pockets aluminum foiled.
He's ready for
my grandmother. She'd take the roll. Yeah. She'd take the silverware. She'd be going out. You know. Right.
So, John, you feel that the mini dessert is here to stay? You know, there's not a 5-inch regulation cannoli, but the mini cannoli, because then you get to try all the different fillings.
I think when you go to a bakery and you see a lot of miniature style desserts, you're more likely to buy a selection to bring to wherever you're going. And it's same thing, like whenever I cook for holidays for my family, I'll always do a lot of small things. Everybody could try a bunch of different things. You never know like who likes or doesn't like something. Everybody has a preference.
Thing.
Rather than bring one thing that people maybe 50% might love, mm-hmm. I'd rather bring six things that for sure everybody's going to have something they love.
That's a Greek thing. We call it with the savory stuff, we call it mezedes, which is like the same thing as like tapas, right? You have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. I get that. I totally do.
That's why I bring the airplane bottles of booze to Christmas in my family.
I got you.
The Italians call that family style.
I go one step further. I refill them.
But Johnny, for a man who cooks such mini pastries, you've got two gigantic beers there that you're drinking from.
Yeah.
One for each hand. So beverages don't apply.
Size doesn't always matter.
That's true. Is it Little Jimmy, what's your famous saying about, I think you know the one. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Reminding everybody to think big because I always do.
Absolutely. That was the polite one. I was talking about the one that...
Okay. Whatever you do on your knees, I do standing up.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Jimmy, not to offend you, but I remember like working in the restaurants, we work with a lot of great people and a lot of amazing personalities.
No.
And some of these gentlemen are of Latin descent and are shorter, you know? And we always give them a hard time and they always come, hey, Chefy, hey, Poppy, come up to me. He's like, the kitchen is full of dick jokes. You know, it's always about who's got a bigger dick and talk about what they did last night, whatever else. So I remember this one time, like, I was just riding this one prep cook, and he was
For those out there in radio land, riding is not a literal term.
giving him a hard time, poking fun at him, you know. And so... You're going to have to describe my hand gestures. And one day he just comes in, his English is horrible. He's like, hey, chef. He's like, you tall, yeah? You alto. He's like... Tall guys?
He's doing the
short
loser
guys.
Like, I know that too.
Tall guys got a small one. Short guys got the long one, you know? I never bothered him after that.
It just looks bigger.
I laughed so hard I had to walk away.
You may never mess
with that guy again.
It's like why I like short girls, because they have small hands. It makes your dick look bigger.
You may have the quantity, but I have the quality.
I'm believing it, man.
And on that note, we're going to take a little quick break for station identification.
It will be a short break.
Oh, wow.
Ayo, we'll be right back, there, kids.
The halls, this is something I've been through before. Not again. If our lives depend on it, so political and analytical, intellectual, ineffectual. Read Southern pretender, sister, mother, hide your children, ain't you under the pillow? Sleep on it, a man in the white shoe.
Drinking the cheap booze. Drinking the cheap booze.
Drinking the cheap booze, baby.
Booze on the behind your nearest star. It's gonna find out where you were last night. Yeah, it's gonna find who you are. Oh, we'll confound you, we'll confuse you. It's gonna love you, it's gonna lose you. Holding my hand, no man's land.
We're thrilled to announce a special event, the Silver Snail 25 Years of Slow Food. This event is hosted by Slow Food USA, Heritage Radio Network, and Roberta's Pizza. been 25 years since Carlo Petrini and a group of activists launched a peaceful revolution to defend regional traditions, good food, gastronomic pleasure, and the slow pace of life. The slow food movement has since evolved into a comprehensive approach to food that recognizes strong connections between plate, planet, people, politics, and culture. Today, this movement involves thousands of projects and millions of people in more than 160 countries worldwide. Join us for a dialogue between Slow Food's founder, Carlo Petrini, and locavore activist Alice Waters as they reflect on the evolution of the food movement and all things slow. Friday, October 3rd from 11:30 to 2:30. You can go to our website and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page to RSVP. We can't wait to see you there.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
This made me happy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Eating Disorder. Yeah, that always catches us off guard. We're never going to have a smooth comeback.
No, it's never going to happen.
No. Was that a piece of straw or salad that went flying right before we came back in? I was trying to get to the microphone.
Kielbasa.
But I don't know what that was. We just learned that deep-fried kielbasa from Climat on 7th Street is an excellent addition to Roberta's Pizza. So, but Little Jimmy, tell us a little bit about the genesis for the book, for your autobiography, and maybe talk to us about one special chapter or something that from your life that made it onto the page.
Well, I am very proud of myself, and thanks to you helping me, that my book, to me, is one of the greatest achievements that I made in my lifetime, which I had a fairly decent, good life. I come from a great family.
You grew up in Brooklyn, right?
Born and raised in Brooklyn, still live in Brooklyn.
Who is the best baseball player in history, in your opinion? And do you have a story about him?
Oh, yes. Joe DiMaggio. And I was 10 years old in 1957. And he knew friends, relatives that lived right across the street at the time where I was living. Daddy, Daddy, Joe DiMaggio's across the street. And I was only 10 years old. He took me, and Joe DiMaggio grabbed me in his arms. Hello, how are you? And out of the clear blue sky, at 10 years old, I said, "Where's Marilyn?" His face dropped down to the floor, because I did not know they were getting a divorce at that time, practically the same day. And he was visiting cousins that happened to live right across the street from where I was born and raised. So it, like, was a thorn on his side when I brought that up. And in my book, he turns around and says, "Oh, she must be waiting. She must be out waiting." And what I said, the very next thing that out of my mouth, "Waiting for who? I thought she loved you and with you."
But really, she was swimming at the beach, right? It was the other kind of waiting.
That's exactly right, but I didn't know it at that time. I was 10 years old, and it was a very hot day that day.
And the book has lots of stories about your love of trains, your love of driving, and especially the Little People of America.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about
which
that.
Which is an organization you love, and you attended conventions for many, many years. What is a convention like when you get 100 or 500 little people together?
To me, it's the greatest experience that I ever witnessed. You know, growing up with 2 6-foot-tall brothers and an average-sized sister and a beautiful mommy and daddy, when I saw a little person, I always thought, you know, circus, wrestling. But it's the greatest thing, the organization, every little person on the planet should join Little People of America, LPA. It's throughout the whole United States. There's an LPC, Little People of Canada, Little People of Europe. It's worldwide. But LPA, I had the greatest times, met great people, and they all respected me. And I just had the greatest times, as you could read in my book.
If Little People of America and Little People of Canada had a fight, who'd win?
We don't fight.
No, and Little People of America was started with 12 little people. Billy Barty. Everyone today knows Billy Peter Dinklage Barty. and Warwick Davis. But Billy Barty is arguably maybe
Peter
the greatest person actor.
He's a Williamsburg alumni.
Oh, is he?
Yes,
well,
he was.
Billy Barty, who you met and worked with on a Halloween show, I believe. Just one of the most famous little people around.
Billy Barty is number one, the man, the founder of the organization. I had great pleasure meeting him at my first convention in 1968. He formed the Little People with only 9 little people in Las Vegas. And I think back in 59, and it started, 9 people. Now the organization is up to like 5,000.
Let me just ask one thing before you bring on our next guest. What was it like being a little person growing up in Brooklyn in that time? Or in any time, really?
What is it like?
I mean, because Brooklyn, you know...
I happen to have the right parents that understood the situation. I have two great big people as parents. And like I said, big brothers, big sisters. I was the last one out of 4, and I came out a dwarf. They could have put me up for adoption. They could have put me in a home. They thought, no, not my family. My daddy's Italian. My mommy's Greek. I love them both. I would never change my nationality, and I would never change my religion. I love my family to the last breath on the face of the earth.
But what about in the streets of Brooklyn? Because Brooklyn, back in the day, you know, it's not the same Brooklyn that it is today.
You said in your book, when you went to school, some kids didn't understand. They thought you were a monster, and Mrs. McNamara took care of that, right?
All my teachers, they all knew. They all knew how to handle the situation. I could remember like it was 10 minutes ago when I walked into my first grade class, leaving your parents for the first time, as it is in my book. You have to get my book and read it. And little people and the outside world, they think we're freaks. They think we're out of space. We're monsters, and we're evil. Little people are the greatest people on the earth. God put us here just like he put you and everybody else.
And the other thing that little Jimmy would do is he always had the nicest football. So when it came to sports, they couldn't exclude him. But I think we have a special call-in from somebody who we talked about, Billy Barty and Warwick Davis. And Lou Fatale has been the manager of not only Minikiss, but the manager of lots of little people, impersonators, singers, songwriters. If you need Mini Elvis, if you need Mini Michael Jackson, then Lou is the guy to call. Lou, are you on the line?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Ah, we're great.
Hey,
we're great.
Lou. What's up, Lou?
Now,
how
Lou,
you doing, my little brother?
I have to ask, was that you and Scotty from Minikiss at the Jones Beach Kiss show trying to sneak backstage?
Yeah, that was us trying to get back there. Yeah, you saw us, huh?
has Minikiss ever interacted with Kiss?
Yeah, we did the commercial with them.
We did
the Gene Simmons Family Jewels. Yeah, we hung out with them.
Excellent.
They're cool dudes.
Now, what would be different in the backstage rider from Kiss, say, who are, you know, mostly teetotalers now that Ace Frehley's out of the band, and Minikiss? are there requirements that Minikiss has backstage?
What do you mean backstage?
Well,
what
requirements
do we have?
Like,
you can only eat green M&Ms in the
bar. Yeah, no brown M&Ms.
You got to be a good looking chick, bro.
So that's the only way to get backstage.
We call those our riders. You got to have a lot of money.
I see. Now, how many years have you been managing Minikiss, for example?
18, since we started.
And now this has transformed. I mean, obviously, Pepsi Super Bowl commercials, and now, from what I understand, Minikiss has a big role coming up in the spring of 2015 in a movie called Paul Blart: Mall Cop 2.
Kevin James, Adam Sandler. Yeah, yeah, we're pumped up. We're stoked, man. That's going to be a great movie, guys.
Now, is it true that Kevin James and Adam Sandler had to stand on apple boxes to look bigger than Minikis? Because aren't they? They're not as short as Tom Cruise.
No,
but
no, they're actually cool dudes.
They're good
man.
Guys.
Kevin's
all right,
a funny dude, man. He's funny in person, just as funny in person as he is on the screen. He's just a regular guy like you and I, man. You know, they were great to work with, man. They were just really, really. I mean, this is going to put us right back on the map. We're excited. The boys are excited. They did a great job.
Any details you can give us without giving anything away? Any details you can give us without giving
the
scene
away? Don't tell us how it ends, though.
You know, they didn't belittle us in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Which was good, you know, because, like, you know, we're little people get sensitive, you know. I mean, it's a different world today. I think it's a lot more accepted today. You always have your ignorance, no matter what. If you're little, if you're tall, if you're black, if you're green, if you're red or you're yellow, you know, you'll always have ignorance in the world. But for the most part, I guess with these reality shows and all, people get a better insight on little people, and they're like, you know, geez, you know, it's not the easiest life in the world. You know, we shouldn't say the M word or anything, you know. So it's come a long way, and hopefully we can take it to the next level where, you know, listen, I know it's kind of odd, if, you know, at first when you take your first look at a little person, because they look different. But they're just like the other guy said, you know, they're just like you, man, you know, they're just like you and me, you know. But we're mini rock stars, man. We take it with a grain of salt, and we just have a good time. We put that makeup on, we get on stage, and we're no longer little people. We're just feel like rock stars, and that's the beauty of Minikis, you know. It's just, it gives these guys a chance to get on stage and shine.
It's beautiful, you know? And that was a very inspiring spiel you had there, but I got to point out that that's probably the only time that anybody ever said anything positive about reality shows.
Well, well, Little Jim in his book talks about the girl from Little People Big World, who used to go to the conventions, and he knew her for years. And Lou, you've obviously represented Little People for close to 20 years.
How did that happen?
How did that come about?
Well, my brother was born a little person, Joey, and he got into entertainment when he was younger, like in his 20s. And his manager, of course, you know, between his manager and his lawyer, the poor guy was going broke. So I stepped in, you know, and the rest is history. But
is he in one of the bands?
My brother was a little person. I unfortunately, we lost him 3 years ago in August.
Sorry.
He fell asleep, and he had a heart attack in his sleep, and he never woke up. So he went quickly, painlessly, but, you know, it sucks, you know, to lose a sibling or anything. It hurts, but that's how I got into it. And like you said, you know, that's how I got into, like, you know, like elves, leprechauns, mini Gaga, mini Elvis. You know, I just do all kinds of events for people, party planning, and that's my other website. That's the miniacts.com. I kind of branched off into that, too. And it gives them all a chance to shine. You know, like even my little Gaga, she's from Brooklyn.
We got to meet your little Gaga.
Yeah, I got to meet Gaga.
And she rocks the stage. All people right. love her show.
What's the number one requested mini act that you find? Or that you
Mini
book?
Kiss, bro.
Mini Kiss is number one. Mini Elvis maybe is transitioning, or Mini Michael Jackson's taking over those gigs?
Mini Michael Jackson retired, man. The dude retired, and you know, let's face it. How many mini Michael Jacksons can you find? The dude was good.
Not enough. Not enough would be the answer to that question.
Do you have a mini Katy Perry?
I want the tiny glasses of mini Jesus juice.
Well, actually, that's a funny thing. You bring up the Katy Perry thing. Look, you know, the one thing about this country is everything needs to be bigger and larger, and Texas is big, and blah blah blah. My problem with the country right now isn't the bigger thing, and it isn't about like portions are smaller or whatever. It's the cutest.
Yeah, man, it's a mini world out there, man.
Well, yeah,
come on,
but
you got, everything's mini.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially
and
with the economy, everybody cut back, and everything's mini.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's the cutification of America. It's the doughy deschanelization of America. It's everything is wide eyed and big and Hello Kitty.
It's
and
like Japan.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting to the point where everything's so cute.
So wait, what does that do with Katy Perry?
Yeah,
I don't know. He just blew it up. I'm going on one of my rants.
I was hoping it had to do with her boobs. No. I thought you were going somewhere with the boobs.
Because she's Joey Deschanel's freaking clone. I mean, she's. Come on. Right. Yes, they are.
Well, let's do this.
They both got the eyes. Like, oh my God, I'm so like weird. Oh.
We've learned from this show, though, it appears that mini desserts are better because you get to sample more. You get to try more.
Love
at
that.
All the places with hyphen celebrity chefs like Jean-Georges and Danielle. That's hyphened, I think. And then we've also learned from Little Jimmy that you can have a great and full life with the Little People of America and do shows with Tito Puente. And
yeah,
Rock
man.
Blue,
we got my little
Mini Kiss are the biggest rock band.
Again, they're just like everybody else, and they have a great time, man. You know, I mean, I give them a lot of credit. You know, they overcome a lot of obstacles. They have to get, you know, a lot of them have to get all kinds of surgeries and stuff because their bones don't grow correctly in their legs and their backs. And, you know, it's not an easy life, but when you look at these guys, they're an inspiration, man. You know, you get out of bed in the morning, you're ache, and you're like, leg is aching you. Shame on you. Get your ass up and get to work.
Right. Lou, you should get yourself
some of these little people have had 3 or 4 surgeries in their lives, rods put in their backs and in their necks, and these guys get up and they go to work, man, you know?
Lou, you should get a mini John Uzzini and then start your own bakeries of mini desserts.
Where's Mini Kiss based? In New York?
Out of New York City. In fact, I got to get up at 3 a.m. We're catching a flight to California. We're going to Cali for the week.
I'm trying to think of a way to throw a party just so I could hire Mini Kiss to be there. I'm like, what can I celebrate? Like, I need something to celebrate, just to hire these guys.
Yeah, that's right.
It sounds like Eating Disorder is going to be booking Mini Lady Gaga for the season 3 finale.
Why not, man? Where
does everybody find you out in our listenership? On the web. What the website is?
It's minikiss.com and miniacts.com.
All right. And Johnny, where should people find you and your mini pastries?
JohnnyUzzini.com. It's just my name, JohnnyUzzini. Sugar Rush comes out next week, October 30th. Or September 30th.
You doing any book signings?
We're going to do a book signings all over the place. We have a big event coming up at the 92nd Street Y on October 2nd.
Nice. All right.
It's going to be pretty cool.
It'll be fun.
And now, Little Jimmy, I know you don't believe in computers, or the internet, or even DVDs, but your book can be found on Amazon.
Correct.
It's called Little... Why don't you tell us about the book, the title of the book, Little Jimmy?
Little Man Thinking Big.
And that can be found on Amazon. So if you type in Little Jimmy or Little Man Thinking Big, you can pick up a copy. And if you run into Little Jimmy in Bay Ridge, he'd be happy to sign it for you.
Absolutely.
Oh, you live in Bay Ridge now? Any book that you buy off me.
Little Jimmy's lived in Bay Ridge for 40 years?
Yep, 40, 50 years.
Hey, Jimmy, did you do the hot dog eating contest?
Moved to Bay Ridge, only 2-3 miles away. I'm still in Brooklyn.
Wait, Lou had a question for you. What was the question?
Jimmy!
Yeah, Jimmy, he's asking, were you little Uncle Sam for the last maybe 10 years on July 4th?
The hot dog eating contest would not be the same without me.
Yes.
And every time you go to Coney Island, just look up at that picture, which is not coming down. It is a landmark, thanks to Mayor Bloomberg. And my picture's in the lower right. Next to my greatest friend sitting right to my left, Crazy Legs Conti.
You got center stage on that.
Yeah, I did, because people kept retiring or quitting, so they kept blowing my picture out. The more my skills diminished, the bigger my visage got on the billboard. So,
How many mini pastries do you think you can eat?
You know, I did, with Dick Zegan, the mayor of Coney Island, I ate cocktail weenies. And I ate 92 cocktail weenies in 3 minutes.
Wait, was this a sanctioned competitive eating contest?
There was
or was
no
this
rainbow
backstage
flag.
The Little People of America.
No. This was. But mini pastries. I only. Yes.
Wow.
You know, I.
And that's the show. Kid.
That is the show.
we're gonna end it there.
That's just wrong. It's wrong in so many ways.
Thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Eating Disorder. Lou, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Rock on with Mini Kiss. Little
Thanks,
Jimmy.
Thanks, guys. You all be well. Good luck with everything, everybody. Huh?
Take care, Lou. I'll call you soon.
Take it easy, Lou.
Right.
Little Jimmy, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
And Johnny Uzzini, good luck with the book coming out, and thanks for coming down here.
Pleasure to be here. Glad to meet all you guys.
Everybody out there on Radio Land, have a good night. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.